What a week.
Political tensions that have broken out in Russia.
No call, no text is worth a human life.
Let me tell you, I hope I am the Tim Tebow of the Iowa caucus.
Those last American troops will move south on Desert Sands.
Some of the sounds of the top stories over the past 7 days. That's on all that happened this week. And joining us now to kind of sift through what's bad and what's good, Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for our co-producer WNYC's It's a Free Country, and Fry Chudaya, journalist and blogger at Fry.com. Good morning to both of you. Happy
good
Friday.
Morning, good morning, Celeste.
All right.
John. Morning.
So let's first go to this last debate in a long string. I mean, if you add all of them in, including the two-person debates, I think we're up to like 15 or 16 of them. This is the last of 2011. Looking forward, how important have these debates been in choosing? It doesn't seem like they've been all that effective in actually choosing a candidate.
Well, I would say that they've certainly been effective in changing the game of the race itself. I mean, I don't think there would be Newt Mentum today if it hadn't been for the fact that he has performed in these debates, at least to the tune of the primary electorate. At the same time, we've seen all the front runners to date, until Newt, taken down by these debates. So yeah. These things have had a real effect.
There's definitely that, and there's also the inevitable questions about what the primary system itself is. You start out in some of the whitest states in America and some of the least urban states in America, which, you know, humanity as a whole passed the threshold of urbanization, as did America, where more people are in cities than rural areas. And I love rural areas, but the fact is when you have these early races dictating the pace of any election, what you have is a non-democratic graphic sample. So there's that. And then there's also the question of, you know, winner take all versus splitting the vote. You know, there have been some changes in the primary rules. So I'm just more interested in the debates as a strategic tool. And right now, what you're seeing is, you know, the multiple chairs that Jeff was talking about. But there will be an acceleration of the race towards, you know, a conclusion probably in April.
It does seem like when you kind of look at the entire coverage and all the writings about this election season, it does seem like we're getting a lot more people focusing specifically on the election process, not just the primaries, but the general elections as well, and saying it's flawed and needs to be reformed.
There's no question. And I think a lot of it is due to the fact that the debates themselves have started to turn in some strange ways towards reinventing not just government in the standard sense, cutting taxes, cutting spending, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but literally dropping arms of government, cutting, you know, making a part-time Congress, you know, eliminating the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I mean, these are things which all of a sudden are mainstream dialogues within the Republican Party. And if that's the case, then of course reinventing the electoral system, is going to be critical.
Yeah, I was fascinated by Gingrich's calls to abolish courts that do what he doesn't like, and Ron Paul saying, that's not quite constitutional. And, you know, there's some moments at which there are proposals on the table that are just, you know, way out there in terms of basically, I mean, there's a perception that when conservatives talk about the Constitution that they're returning to original interpretations or original writings. But I think some of the things that Gingrich said are pretty far from what the founders would do, you know. And
that could be just him playing to his base, though. Right?
Well, yeah, but it's still significant because if he's being taken seriously, then we need to look at how we're assessing the value of the Constitution in the United States. Is it just a political tool or is it a document that we care about?
I just think that all of these candidates, whomever becomes the nominee, will change their tune very much when they're trying to appeal to the general population as opposed to Republicans.
And I do have to say that Romney already seemed to be running a general election campaign, you know?
All right. Go ahead. Well, let's move on to another story, and I think something that we'll be talking about more in the days ahead is a different election, which would be the Russian election. Mass protests there and whether or not this is connected with the Arab Spring mentality. Your thoughts?
Well, we've talked a little bit about this, and I think that what we're seeing is if you look at Time magazine, for instance, they decided
to
make this
year.
The protester is the person of the year, or the phenomenon of the year, I suppose. Time has gotten very playful with that over the recent years. But we are definitely seeing a sense in which individuals feel far more empowered. There's much more information out there about what's actually happening, usually, historically, behind closed doors. The very fact that these protests erupted were because there was, you know, physical, visual evidence of electoral fraud taking place. And that wouldn't have happened even 5, even 7, even 10 years ago.
All right. So, you know, the Iraq war ended yesterday officially. And I'm wondering what you guys, your final thoughts about the end of that almost 9 years war, right?
Well, you know, as someone who has family who have served in many wars, including in Iraq, I have to think first and foremost of the human capital expended on this war, which now the majority of Americans think was not a wise choice to fight. And then a large number of military members also think as well. I mean, when you look at the polling data, but what we have to do is really recognize our you know, we have to serve the veterans who, regardless of what we think of the war now, we as a government and as an American people sent folks overseas to fight for a goal.
4,500 didn't come home?
Yeah, and even if the goalpost moved, we have to take care of the veterans. So that's just in my mind right now.
Jeff?
I mean, just judging from the tone of even the conversation at last night's debate, we are coming home from Iraq just to kind of reload so we can head off to another country. You know, other than Ron Paul, everybody seemed very gung-ho about taking a very confrontational stance with Iran. Right? And
it's striking.
I'm not sure that we've learned the right lesson in many places yet about these things.
Jeff Yang writes the Dow Jones column for the Wall Street Journal and blogs for our co-producer WNYC's It's a Free Country and Fry Chidea, journalist and blogger at Fry.com. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
You too.
And as always, we want to give you the last word.
This is India from Pittsburgh. The war lasted 9 years too long. It should never have happened. And we left them with an equally corrupt government. And I think it's a very happy day that it's over. And it's a sad day for Iraq.
Join that or any conversation on the program. Call 877-8-MY-TAKE, as that listener did, or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.